that we started yesterday. We have a few minutes. We have 20 minutes. Let's talk about the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. So we began this topic. I want to discuss a few more ideas. This week, we learned about the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they lacked an appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. The Aseres HaShvatim were driven out of the land. Okay, they were denied to remain in the land. How did all of that happen? What happened to them? So we discussed yesterday, let's review some basic yisoides. We discussed yesterday that the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus in the time of Sancheirev. He is the evil man who is responsible. He was Hashem's tool to remove the Aseres HaShvatim from Eretz Yisrael. We learned yesterday that there's a theme. It's a very important theme which reappears over and over in every element. Anything that you will touch, you will come across in learning the sugya of the Aseres HaShvatim, it's always going to include the number 3. And it appears over and over in many, many different dimensions. And that's because they were exiled in 3 waves. Okay, the first Golus was the two tribes, the 2.5 tribes, the Eiver HaYarden, Ruvain, and God, the Chatzi Shevet Menashe. They were the first tribes to be exiled by Sancheirev. And we mentioned this many times, when they were taken into exile, they were flown first class. They weren't tortured. They were politely relocated to a different part of the world where it's a very big mystery. Where they were sent, what happened to them. 8 years later, according to most of the commentators, there was a second wave of exiles. This time it wasn't so pleasant. The people did not go first class. They were tortured. They were forced. It was an ugly deportation. Not just an expulsion. It was a deportation. It was a very unpleasant experience. And that included most of the Shvatim. I don't have the exact details in front of me. Who were on the west coast of Eretz Yisrael, which means along the Mediterranean. Zvulun and the tribes that lived along the Mediterranean, they were taken. They were relocated to a different location. They were not sent to the same place where Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe were sent. They were sent somewhere totally different. And then 3 years later, Pashas is 3 years later, that was the end of the Aseres HaShvatim, the remainder, whoever was left, was collected and they were marched naked. This was a horrific experience. A death march, marched naked out of the land to an undisclosed location, and whoever survived remained there. Where? No one knows. So basically, there were 3 stages of Golus, of the 10 tribes. Remember, the Klal Yisrael was divided into two kingdoms. After Shlomo HaMelech died, the Malchus was given over by Yerusha to Rechavam, his son. Rechavam was not popular. The people did not like Rechavam. He had advisors, and he asked the advisors what to do, how can he gain success. And his advisors gave him very bad advice. They told him, raise the taxes. Show them who's the boss. Go down hard on your people. And that was a big mistake. And that caused a rebellion. There were other factors which went into this rebellion. He'd made some mistakes based on what Shlomo HaMelech did. And the Malchus was split into 2 parts. There was the Malchus of Yisrael under the authority, the leadership of Yeravam ben Nevat. He was their new Melech. And he was authorized by the Navi Achia HaShiloini. He was given legitimacy. And then there was Rechavam, who maintained authority, Malchus, over 2.5 tribes, the 2.5 tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin, he maintained authority over those 2 tribes. And that's how the Malchus lasted for about 150 to 200 years. And during that period of time, more or less, the 10 tribes of Klal Yisrael, under that line of Malchus, worshipped idols and did terrible, terrible averos. and the two tribes under the Malchus of David, Shlomo, Rechavam, and all of his descendants were more or less tzaddikim, until the end of the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim, when along came Sancheriv and conquered the land and exiled the Malchus, put an end to the Malchus of Yisrael and exiled the 10 tribes in 3 waves. And then the Malchus of Yehuda turned sour. It turned sour with Ochos and with Ochos was really before. Ochos, Menashe, Omoin, and through the end there were always some very, very big problems. So we have over here the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. That again took place in 3 different stages. And it was important to take notice that they were exiled to different locations in the world. And we mentioned yesterday they were very distinct. I'll give you one example. Let me give you one example. Let me take out a sitter. Hold on 1 second. Let me get a sitter from the back over here.
Here's a sitter.
Wow, thank you so much. Look at that. You're here just for that, huh? Thank you. So here's a sitter. Every day you say, Taka B'shoifar Godol L'cheirusein. What are you praying for when you say Taka B'shoifar Godol L'cheirusein? What exactly do you have in mind? Taka blow b'shoifar gadol l'cheruseinu. In my article, there's a comma. There's a comma after that. Then it says, v'sa lift up nes, the banner, l'kabetz, to gather goluyoseinu. Then there's a comma in my article, sitter. And then it says, v'kabetzeinu yachad, together, me'arba, mehero. Here, I have a svar, you see, wow, svar, sitter, okay. Mehera, whew, swiftly. It doesn't seem to have helped us, the svar, by eating in Mehera. It doesn't seem like the... the Gabseinim Yachad, together. Yachad is also only for the Nusach Svard. Yachad, Mehera, Me'arba, Kanfoy, Soaretz, another extra word, Li'artseinu. I'm not a native to Nusach Svard. Okay, it's very flowerly L'Shoimes. So,
excuse me, Rabbi, it always bothers me a little bit why Ashkenaz does not say L'Artseinu. The other words,
it's poshut.
Okay, why not L'Artseinu?
Just the opposite. Where else? You have to say it. It's an insult. L'Artseinu. It's. Is there somewhere else? Pumfakert. Spoken like a real Kalta Litvak. Like a real Kalta Litvak. Where else? Yeah, Havamina. Go. You go talk to an Israeli. Go talk to a Zionist. You ever meet these real hardcore religious Zionists? They're like, Mark, you know one, our friend, the one who's a, what do they call, the prepper?
Wander.
Wander, oh, that guy, he's wild. Woo! That video, wow.
You need him.
He's really wild. I mean, you should know, he told me a lot of those, when we went on the tour with him, he said these really bizarre things. I mean, it's all true what he says, but he's a woo. I never knew, ad kedei kach. But it's pashut. You go talk to a real hardcore religious Zionist. They look at you like you're out of your mind for living in Chutz La'aretz. They look at you like you're totally nuts. They don't hold back. They insult you. They make litzanis of you. They rip into you. I know some of these people, Baruch Hashem. They really rip into you. Like, what are you doing? You live in Chutz La'aretz. Are you Jewish? It's like, you wear tefillin? Did you put on tefillin today? Did you wearing tzitzis? So you don't live in Eretz Yisrael? Are you out of your mind? What's holding you back? There are certain types of people that have no mercy. They have no mercy. They lash into you. That's how they are. So you have to go say L'Artseinu? L'Artseinu? What are you out of your mind? Where else? Where else is there? Okay, that's what they would answer you. And you know something? They're right. That's they're right. But the point over here is, to give you an example. So you write something that's fascinating to me. Why are there 3 parts to this bracha? Why is there verbosity? Teka b'shoifar gadol l'cheruseinu. Okay, we're finished. Just make the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, mekabetz tinchemo Yisrael. Why does the bracha go on? Just say what you want to say, right? You ever take a course in English? Remember those days when you were in elementary school or in high school or in college, took a course in English? What are you trying to say? Just say, put in words what you try. Don't beat around the bush. What's all this, these fluffy words? Let's cut to the chase. What do you, Hashem, bring us home. So say it. Hashem, E.T., go home. Go home. What's there to say over here? The answer is, there are three exiles. This is a bakosha for the galus of the Aseres Hashvatim. The Aseres Hashvatim were exiled in three waves. They were sent to three locations. The nature of each exile is distinct, unique, and cannot be compared to one to the other. That's the main theme I take out of this whole sefer about the Aseres Hashvatim. Don't group the Aseres Hashvatim into one cluster. There were three separate exiles. Each exile is so unique and so different, the repercussions and how it affects our history of Klal Yisrael and the Geula is beyond description, beyond our understanding. The dynamics of the fact that it's not just one exile, it's three separate exiles changes everything. Ad kidei kach, that even in the nusach of the tefillah, we pray for each exile separately. First, tekah b'shoif. I don't have the pshat, I don't have all the details, because this art of appreciating the difference between the three has been lost from us. And my only goal over here is just to try to emphasize that a little bit. Is like, we know, we learn about, we're learning Navi, we learn always about, oh, a Sanhedrin came and he exiled everyone. Yeah, thank you very much. It's not so simple. It's a lot more complicated than that. He exiled Klal Yisrael in three stages. And that created a dynamic which remains with us ad hayoyim hazeh. And the Geula Ho'asidu also depends on reversing the effect of each of these three. I know you'll say, oh, the Aseres Hashvatim, according to some opinions, are never coming back. Hey, wait, let's hold off on that. Hold off on that thought for a few moments until at least let's appreciate the three. Let's assume now they are coming back to some degree. Look at the Nusach. The Nusach is describing three different groups. Teka blo b'shoifar gadol l'cheruseinu. This one group, all they need is to be released. Once you unshackle them, you let them free, they're back there. Maybe those are the people that are living in Eretz Yisrael right now. People, there are people throughout history, as soon as they had an opportunity to get on a boat, to get on a plane, Nefesh b'Nefesh gives them a good deal, they're there. You don't need to go pick them up, twist their arm, have a seminar, and tell them, you know, maybe you should go to Eretz Yisrael, you know. They just get wind. Hey, the state is in operation. We're out of here. We're gone. Just blow that shofar. 1948, okay, United Nations, they legitimized the state of Israel, law of return. War, who cares? There'll be a war. Who cares? We're out of here. We're going back to Eretz Yisrael. We're going home. We are going home. You don't need to convince me. Teka, blow the shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. They're going home. Which one of the three exiles is that? You have to match. Again, I told you, I don't know the pratim. The pratim are fascinating. To go connect all the dots and figure out the dynamics of how all these things come into play. But let's look at the basics. But let's look at the bare bone basics here. Then there's another group. There's another group that needs a little more chizuk. They need a little more chizuk. It's not enough to hear the sound. You got to show them a brochure. You got to show them the brochure. The sonnes, lift up the banner. L'kabeitz gulu yoseinu. You got to show them a brochure, a video, the beautiful beaches. Show them Tel Aviv. Come to Israel. Come stay with friends. Right? You got to give them a little chizuk. You got to show, give them a ceremony and this and that. That's a set that corresponds to the second group, or one of the three groups that was exiled by Sanherib. And then there's the third group. The third group is in a lot of trouble. The damage that they suffered is severe. And they need you to come and pick them up by the hand, to take them by the hand. V'kabtzeinu yachad, gather us. The Ribbono shel Olam has to mamish, take you by the hand, together, mehera, when putting on your nusach, a tefillah, me'arba, kanfoy, so'aretz, de'artzeinu, whatever nusach. Point is, there were three exiles. The damage, the effect that the Golus had upon them is different. And when we come to the times of Mashiach and we reverse the damage, it's different. Each one needs a different approach. And how they all work together, the synergy of they all come together is very important. Which one do you match up with which? Chaval, I don't know Navi well enough and all the details well enough to fully appreciate that point. Okay, let me just also leave you with one of the very one important another yisoid about the basic yisoid, and that is will.
By the way,
Tav Shin Ches. Okay, very good. Okay, that's nice. Rashi Tevis, say it again. The Ka b'shofar. What was your remes? Mark wants to know. I see Mark has to know this.
Shofar.
Yes.
The
pet
and the lamed is not
the Ka shofar cheruteno.
It's the
Tav Shin Ches. Oh, I mean the Rashi Tevis. The first letters. Tav shofar and cheruteno. The first letters of the first three words. Taka bishofar lecheruseinu. Leave out the prefixes. What's the shorish of the first word? Taka. Tes. Bishofar. The beis is just a prefix. So let's do away with the beis. What's the shorish of the second word? Shofar. What's the third word? Lecheruseinu. The lamed is a prefix. So slice off the lamed. Ches. Tof shin ches. In the year Tav Shin Ches, this 1948.
We missed it.
We didn't miss it. It ain't too late. It's never too late. You're the one who always tells me that it's never too late.
The second round.
Okay, so this is now not this is your side, not no chidushim over here. Just you should know this. This is just an important thing to know. There are four opinions in the Gemara regarding the Aseres HaShvatim. Four opinions, what will happen to them. Okay, just to die, to memorize the four opinions. First opinion is Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says the Aseres HaShvatim will return. Rebbe Eliezer, Yeshuva, they will return. Okay, he's very generous. Rabbi Eliezer, it's very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer was the most intolerant Tana. How do you know that? Rabbi Eliezer was in the cave with, it's an amazing about face. He really went for therapy, this guy. And he really was a success story. What happened, Rabbi Eliezer? He was in the cave with his Tata, Rashbi, Rabbi Shimba Yechoy. They come out of the cave after 12 years. And they give a look at a guy and say, what do you do? I'm a computer programmer. You're joking? You're not in Koilo? You're not in Koilo? They give one look, he turns into a pile of bones. Next guy, what do you do for a living? I'm an electrical engineer. Give one look, pile of bones. What do? I'm a bus driver. Gives one look, pile of bones. Hashem says, excuse me here. You come out of the cave to destroy the world. Go back into the cave. Go back where you came from. So Rashbi goes back into the cave. They go back into the cave, Nochamol, for another year. They come out of the cave a year later. They come out, all Nochamol, the same thing again. What? This time it wasn't Rashbi. or maybe I don't remember the exact details, but suddenly they come out of the kitchen and they say, what do you do? Well, what do I do? I'm a doctor. I make a good living. I'm a doctor. So Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer, was about to give him a good look, to turn him into a pile of bones. And Rashbi says, my son Eliezer, don't do that. That's not what Hashem wants. Don't worry. The world needs doctors and lawyers and plumbers, electricians and scientists. And especially they need police officers. That's the most important profession. Security personnel. And he trained him. Kedai the whole world to me and you. I mean, whatever that means, it means. It's a very bizarre statement. Listen, we'll sit in Koilo, and that's enough. Everyone else should get a job. And he became Rashbi taught Rabbi Eliezer to be tolerant of other people that are not like you. You know how far his tolerance went? It's Pile Ploim. Unbelievable wonders. You know how far his tolerance went? That Rabbi Eliezer said that the Aseres HaShvatim who went into Golos, they're coming back. They're coming home. They're coming back. They'll be back. They ain't gone. He is the most optimistic of everyone. Even though if they're coming back, we're in a lot of trouble because they're not in good shape. They're goners. Who knows what they're doing, these guys? What became of them over the generations? But Rabbi Eliezer says they're coming home. Rabbi Akiva is an extremist. He says, they're gone. They're not coming back. Not only are they never coming back to Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Akiva, they have no chelek in Olam Haba. Ad kidei kach. That's how far gone they are. Then we come to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and he says, it depends. If they'll do teshuvah, they'll come back. If not, they won't come back. And then we have the fourth opinion. The fourth opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, they're never coming back, but they do have a chelik in Olam Haba. Okay, so I want to leave you with this yisoid. Keneged arba banim divrei Torah. Keneged chacham echad chacham echad rasha v'echad tam v'echad she'eino yodea lisho. Okay, so I'm telling you a drush that arba banim are the four opinions in Chazal regarding the Aseres HaShvatim. Keneged arba banim divrei Torah. Echad chacham. Who's the chacham? Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that Aseres HaShvatim, they're coming home. They're going to be back to fight another day. Echad Rosha, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva learns that the Aseres HaShvatim are Rishoim. They're Rishoim. They're goners. They're never coming back, not in this world and not in the next world. The Echad Tam. What is the Tam? The time is the simple one. Now, how do you want to fadre this? I don't know how you want to say the time. He's simple, meaning they're not coming back. They're not coming back, but they do have a chelik in Olam Haba. They do have a chelik. Or maybe I don't really know how you want. You can learn it. You can spin it however you want to spin it. It's going to be a mnemonic to remember. And that was Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, it depends. Okay. He says, it depends. If they'll do teshuvah, they're coming back. If they will not do teshuvah, they're not going to come back. It's in their hands. It's in their choice. Let's say they're the Tam. It's your choice. You make a decision. And then there's the fourth opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He says, physically, they're gone. All indications are they're never coming back. But those neshamos that departed, they will be in Olam Haba. So Maskana, four opinions. Rabbi Eliezer, who was originally a kanoi. He was a kanoi, Rabbi Eliezer. He wanted to look at a guy who had a job, who wouldn't learn in Koyle, he wanted to turn into a pile of bones. And he's the most tolerant. He says, they're coming home. They're all going to be back. They're coming back. We want you back. Rabbi Akiva, who you would think, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, what's a klal gadol b'tov? You have to l'reyacha k'moicha. Ze klal gadol b'tov. Rabbi Akiva said that. And yet Rabbi Akiva says, they're not coming back. Not in this world, and not in the next world. Shocking, huh? Such an extreme opinion on the Aseres HaShvatim. Rabbi Shim ben Yehuda, it's your choice. If you'll do teshuva, you'll come back. If you don't want to do teshuva, you're not going to come back. You're the balabas. Shalom aleichem, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, the Ma'or HaGoyla, has arrived. He has entered the ulam, the virtual ulam. And then we have the fourth opinion. The fourth opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who says they're only going to go to Olam Haba, not to Olam Hazeh. Okay, this is a kedai to memorize the Arba Banim regarding the Shita of the Aseres HaShvatim. Maybe we'll continue. I think we'll continue. There's more, a lot more about the Aseres HaShvatim, but at least today we reviewed the three stages and we reviewed this fasting shot in the Brach of Tekah B'Shef Agadol Chereseinu. And we have laid out the four shitas regarding what is going to be with these Aseres HaShvatim that were exiled in the time of Sanhedrin. Rabbis, have a wonderful day. Enjoy yourself.
So the only one who really was on the positive side had a father who taught him.
The only one that was not, what do you mean? That according to the Ma'adim, they will come back?
Rabbi Lozo was taught by Rabbi Shimon.
Oh, right. Rabbi Lozo was taught by Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon didn't have a father to teach him.
So he was an extremist. Interesting idea.
Right. Rabbi Yehuda and what it says Ben means their father died young.
Interesting. So they're somewhere in the middle. Interesting. You're saying that the reason why Rabbi Eliezer was a tolerant was because he had a mechanech. He was raised by a father. By Rabbi Shimon. He's saying something very powerful. He had a real father. He had a father that taught him Torah. And Rabbi Akiva did not.
You can't do this. It's
Rabbi
not
Akiva did not.
Rabbi had taught everyone Talmud.
Rabbi Akiva, until he was 40 years old, didn't study one word. But when he became observant, he didn't learn one word until. So therefore, his father by that time probably wasn't. I mean, he was already a 40-year-old man. He didn't have a father. He didn't have a chinuch. So it's a whole different league. It's a whole different story. When you're 40 years old, you're learning for the very first time. Very good. You're saying very good. That's why he was very intolerant. You're trying to make a parallel between tolerance and chinuch habanim. It's like get a PhD and prove that there's a relationship between a person's degree of tolerance and his upbringing, his father
I
raised him.
At the end, Rabbi Akiva became tolerant because
I can't hear.
Rabbi Akiva had three wives.
At the end, Rabbi Akiva became tolerant because he married the
Kalbos. He had three wives. Rabbi Akiva was married three times.
Maya.
Three wives he had. All right, we're going to stop here.